Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
I had to cut that short. We're having some technical interference down here because of the weather. We know we had a tornado went through yesterday, and we still got some strong winds, so I apologize for that static noise that you was hearing. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle. And we got a wonderful, wonderful guest tonight. You know, but before I bring him on, I just want to thank all of my listeners from north to south, east and west, and all my global listeners, because we couldn't do it without you. And I want to thank those people in Hawaii, first of all, where my guest is calling from tonight, the United States, France, Germany, Senegal, Australia, the UK, Canada, Nigeria, and Cameroon, Africa, Singapore, Pakistan, Iraq, Peru, Russia, India, and the Netherlands. So, wow, we got people listening all over. So, you know, I want to thank them for tuning in, because you could have been somewhere else, but on a Friday hanging out with me. And if you're somewhere else in the continent, in the world, you might be already Saturday. But anyway, I first want to say hello to my wonderful co-hosts, Chris and Mark. How y'all doing this evening?
Hello, I'm good.
Doing great.
Thank you, Mark. Now, a little bit about our guest. He's Dr. Jacob Lieberman. He's going to share information to how you can have a luminous life. So many times you wonder why you haven't achieved the heights that you have and don't know how to get there. Well, tonight, doors of wisdom will be open and you will learn the secrets of how science of light will unlock the art of living. So real quick, I'm going to let my co-host Mark start off the questions and hang in there with us. And if you want to talk and ask a question, just dial 347-945-6003 and hit the 1 key, because that will show up on my switchboard that you got a comment or a question. And feel free, because this is a live show, so we welcome all the questions. Don't be afraid. I see y'all on the switchboard. You can call in. You know, it's okay. But go ahead, Mark, with your question.
Yes, Dr. Lieberman, I want to tell you it was a pleasure getting to know you through some of your YouTube videos and interviews.
Thank you.
I was struck by a story you told of when you were 11 years old selling newspapers on the corner of Miami in Florida, and you told a story of being hungry and shoplifting a Hershey bar. Well, I have a similar story, because I was 13 years old in junior high, and I also did the same thing at a drugstore, but mine was a giant Hershey bar that I put in a notebook. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. I was caught, and my mother and my Aunt Jenny came to pick me up. I was 13 years old. I had great embarrassment and shame, and that cured me of shoplifting forever. Can you tell me about the chatter in your mind that happened after that event?
You know, what happened during that event is that I picked up that candy bar, I stuck it in my back pocket, and as I started walking out of Saunders Hardware, I heard that familiar voice inside my head say, "Nobody saw you." And then in that same instance, I realized that I saw me. And It was the first time in my life that I remember noticing a difference between the voice that all of us hear inside of our head and that part of us that notices the voice talking. And that experience was the first time, even though I was very young, that I realized there was a difference between what we call the chatter in the mind, the worry, the thinking that all of us experience all day. And we forget that the only reason we're aware that that's going on is because there's a deeper aspect of ourselves that notices all that. Now, that deeper aspect, from my experience, doesn't talk and doesn't say, "I want this" or "I don't want this." It just sees everything. And that seeing part of us is crucially important in terms of uncovering what's the true nature of our humanity. Who are we at a very, very deep core? And so that experience at the age of 11 or 12 really started opening up something inside of me, and it also cured me from stealing as well.
You sure the idea of getting that belt didn't help?
I didn't get caught, but you know, what's more powerful than getting caught is catching yourself.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
And if we're fortunate enough to catch ourselves, that can be really significant, and that's essentially what occurred to me.
Well, that's good. I mean, yeah, that's good, because, you know, what you do as a child sometimes mold what you're going to be like as a man. So that's good that you had those spiritual boundaries to, like, you know, say, look, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, and more of us need to listen to that voice inside of us instead of just dismissing it. So I'm going to let Chris ask his question.
All right. Hi, Dr. Lieberman. My name is Chris Michael Warren. It's a pleasure to meet you. My question is,
Thank
I did
you.
A book, and I I can't remember the title. I just read it before the show, and it just escaped me. It's about taking off your glasses. Can you explain that?
It's called Take Off Your Glasses and See.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Can you explain what that book's about?
Yeah. In 1976, I was a practicing eye doctor and vision scientist. And I had a very profound experience. I had been wearing glasses for about 9.5 years. I couldn't see without my glasses on. I couldn't drive without them and so on. And because I noticed that everybody's eyes were continually getting worse from year to year, and I noticed that everyone seemed to be wearing glasses, even though nobody's born needing them, I realized something's wrong with this picture. What's causing everybody to lose their eyesight? And so I got very involved in trying to discover how to prevent vision problems and also trying to discover if there was a way of becoming less dependent upon my glasses or maybe improving my eyesight. And I was doing a bunch of different things, from different kinds of vision exercises to wearing my glasses less to prescribing weaker rather than stronger pairs of glasses. And all of these things worked to some degree. But then I had a profound experience one Sunday when I sat down to meditate, as I had been doing for several years. I took my glasses off. I sat down in the chair where I meditated. I closed my eyes, and I just started breathing. And somewhere in the process of my meditation, all of a sudden, something occurred, and any sense that I had of myself seemed to disappear. The only thing that was very evident is that everything was crystal clear, even though my eyes were closed.
Wow.
And when I came out of this experience, my eyesight was clear.
Wow.
And I was astounded, because I was classically trained, and this wasn't supposed to happen. And so I drove to my office without my glasses on, and I sat in my examination chair 20 feet away from the eye charts, and I started changing, looking at one eye chart and then the next one and the next one, and I was consistently seeing 300% better, because initially, without my glasses, all I could see was the big E on the eye chart, but now I was seeing better than 20/20, and I said, wow, what could have happened here? So I decided to examine my eyes, just like I did with thousands of my patients. After I finished the exam, I came out from behind my instrument to see what the prescription was, and there had been no change in my prescription. So let me repeat that again. I was able to see 300% better. I could read 300% better. But my eyes had not changed at all. And all of a sudden, I realized that the only way that could have occurred is if the part of us that is seeing is not actually our eyes, but something different. And it was just like when I stole the candy bar. There was a part of me that was saying, oh, nobody saw you. But there was another part of me that saw clearly everything that was going on. And that is what got tapped into in 1976 at the age of 29. And what I want to tell you about that is, not only did my eyesight change instantaneously without doing anything, it has remained that way for the last 42 years. I am now 70 years old. I'm 70. Wow. I have never worn a pair of glasses on my face for distance or reading since that day in 1976. And I think the important thing that I would like to share with your listeners right now is not that I had this cool experience, but that what I discovered is that it is possible to have miraculous types of changes, instantaneous changes, occur in our lives without doing anything. Maybe you call it grace, or maybe you call it something else, but this has happened in my life numerous times, and it hasn't just been momentary. It's something that's been permanent. I believe that there, you know, in the medical community, they would term this a spontaneous remission. You know, somebody has cancer or some other serious disease, and all of a sudden it goes away, and no one knows exactly what occurred. That's what happened to me 42 years ago. And that allowed me to realize that we don't understand very much about how the body works or how life works. And so since that time, my real interest has been the science of life. How can we become successful at living so that we're not only healthy, but we're content? And so that's really what this newest book, Luminous Life, is about, is that our lives are literally guided by light. And I'm talking scientifically now, not just spiritually. Our bodies are literally guided by light in the exact same way as a plant's life and development are also guided by light. And once we uncover that, our lives become easier. There's less stress involved because, you know, we've been conditioned, we've been sort of brainwashed our whole life that we have to make everything happen. And what I've uncovered is everything is already happening. It's happening whether we do something or we don't do something. It occurs just like, you know, every part of our body functions by itself. None of us have to remind our hearts to beat or our bodies to breathe or when we're hungry or when to go to sleep or when to wake up. Those things all occur by themselves. And what I'm suggesting is there's a lot more that occurs by itself. And once we discover it, life becomes very different.
Let me ask you this question. I got a couple of questions. The first one is, are you a spiritual man?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But
the reason I say this is because when you was talking about you closed your eyes and you was meditating, I don't know if you was calling it praying or whatever, you know, like in the Bible and like in just spiritual conversations, the light, we connected with Christ. And I was wondering, since that happened to you, for all these people out there are dealing with cataracts and all these other stigmas of the eye, you know, did you stop your practice or did you share your thoughts with your patients since you was already an optometrist after you was blessed to have clear sight? Because right now, you can make me pray harder because my eyes have some issues itself, you know, my right eye. So
well,
I appreciate that story.
I shared this with every patient that I had because in sharing it, I opened up the possibility for them to experience it. But then eventually I got out of practice because I realized I had a much more important message to share for the public, and I could be better if I could share it with many people at once rather than one person at a time. But I wanted to come back to something you said. You said to me, are you a spiritual person? And, you know, we think spirituality is something different than our everyday life, but I don't actually find that that's the way it is in my life. I'll give you an example. When we look at a tree, if we didn't know what a tree was, and it was the first time we looked at a tree, we would be sure that the tree is the thing we can see that starts at the ground and then goes up. But now that we know more about this, we realize that underneath the ground, there's a part of the tree that you can't see. Not only you can't see it, it's three times as big as the tree. It's much, much larger than the tree. It feeds the tree. It nourishes the tree. It allows the tree to be stable. It holds the ground so that the tree can sustain big winds and lousy weather and hurricanes. In other words, it is our foundation, and yet it's not visible. You could say the roots of the tree are also part of the tree, and that which is nourishing the tree, you could say, is this spiritual part. Well, human beings also are like trees. We have a part that you can see and a part that you can't. And the part of the human being that you can't see is where we are receiving the nourishment, the guidance, and the stability. So what we call spirituality, in actuality, is a part of our life that for most of us is not evident. We cannot see it. But as we grow and as we mature, we gradually begin to see more and more. I remember Jonathan Swift once said, "Real vision is the ability to see the invisible." And so what we're talking about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, I like to think that, you know, like when a lady gives life to a newborn baby, the umbilical cord is like the roots of the tree, like that light that's in us, that ability to be better than what we accept is the Spirit of God, you know, that's already in us. And, you know, what this is telling me is that we've gotten so detached from the Creator that we don't believe miracles are still happening, because what has happened to you is considered a miracle by some people's standards, you know. And we got to get back, and we got to understand and believe that, you know, God is alive and well. You know, anything that we need to go to Him in prayer and believe it. We ask for things, but we don't believe it. And I find myself guilty of that. And when you're talking about your eyes, man, I'm sick and tired of wearing reading glasses, you know, because I don't want that imprint on my nostril, you know. And I just think that's what I really need to do, is like shut everything down, go to a quiet place, and just pray and say, Lord, you know, if you did it back then, you can do it today as well as do it in the future. And that has really impressed me, you know, that, you know, it just happened, you know. So I know Chris got a question he want to ask you. Go ahead, Chris, ask your question.
Okay, can I respond with one more thing? May I share something before the next question?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. So this is what I wanted to share with you, because you mentioned God. So, and I've been talking about light. You know, the Bible speaks of the Creator as God. And then it says the Creator is omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, and everywhere at the same time, omnipresent. And then it goes on to say God is light. If you look at all the spiritual texts that have been written about consciousness, they all speak about consciousness as light. If you speak to a scientist and you say, listen, where does this whole experience of life come from? Where does it all emerge from? And they'll say, well, it's all energy. And if you say to them, well, at the most fundamental level, what is the name of that energy? And they'll say, oh, that's called light. And so light, whether you think of it as God or consciousness or the light that a scientist speaks of, we're using different words, but we're saying the same thing. Everything that we know as life actually emerges from an invisible source that's called light. And if you ask a scientist how light behaves, even though they will use different words, they will say to you that light behaves as if it is all powerful, as if it is all knowing, and is as if it is everywhere at the same time. So science and spirituality, even though they think they're different things, are the same thing, just spoken about differently. I'm ready for your next question.
That's Mark, Dan. Go on, Mark. You're doing a whole lot of research on our guests, so I know you got a whole bunch of questions.
Okay, I thought one very powerful notion you had was when you went to the thesaurus and you looked up the word belief. Can you tell our listeners what you found?
Yeah. You know, today, a very common word that you hear all the time is belief. People say, oh, that's just your belief system, or I believe in this, or well, you need to change your beliefs. And because it's a very common word today, I decided to look it up in the thesaurus. And of course, immediately I see that belief means the same as idea, thought, concept, and theory. What was fascinating to me is after I read that, my eyes moved down the page to the antonyms, the words that mean the opposite of belief. And I was astounded to learn that the opposite of belief is truth.
Wow.
Really?
And all of a sudden, yes.
Truth,
and all of a sudden, belief is just an idea.
Right.
Truth is something different. And all of a sudden, I realized that this is what Jesus was speaking about when Jesus said, "The truth shall set you free." And the reason that most of us don't experience this freedom is because we're living lives according to our beliefs rather than our direct experience, those things that those epiphanies, those revelations in life that really move us. And, you know, Jesus spoke about this in the Gospel of Thomas. Jesus said, when you see up as down and down as up, when you see the outside and the inside the same, when you see a man as a woman and a woman as a man, then you shall enter the kingdom. What Jesus was saying is not when you see according to what you think is right or wrong or what you believe or don't believe, but when you see all of life the same, all of it as an expression of godliness on some level, when you see that, then something can occur where you experience the truth, which he speaks of as the kingdom. And many people have said exactly the same thing in different ways. About 1,500 years ago, one of the Zen patriarchs said, the great way is not difficult. And for him, the great way and the kingdom were the same. The great way is not difficult for those who have no preferences. He said, when love and hate are both absent, everything is clear and undisguised. If you wish to see the truth, hold no opinions for or against anything. And so what Jesus and this other gentleman were saying is that it's about seeing from a place that doesn't have a point of view. It's not seeing life through our ideas of what we've been led to believe is right or not right, but seeing life in the same way as I had that experience when I was 11 and I stole the candy bar. That place that saw me didn't say, oh, that's good or that's bad. But the fact that it saw me, it caused everything to change. Maybe all of you remember when you were kids in school and sometimes the teacher would turn around to write something on the blackboard and some of the boys in the back of the room would start throwing paper wads and making noises and playing around. As soon as the teacher turned around, even though she said nothing, the whole room became quiet. So this part of us that sees can cause everything to change very quickly.
You know, and that's a valid point, you know, because it's like with the innocence of just clarity, you know, no predisposed idea, you can see the truth because you don't have something trying to lean you this way, lean you the other way. And you know something?
Right.
I need to take a small break, but my goodness, we'll be back in 2 and 2 because this is so interesting, and we all got a lot of questions, Chris, Mike, Mark, and myself. So stay with us, and we'll be back in 2 and 2.
Okay.
Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello? Hey, it's Mike. Hey, how y'all doing? How y'all doing? Oh, yeah, everything's good. Everything's good. It's just been really good. Sorry I haven't been here. I forgot, but I will be there this week. Right now.
There are times in your life when your faith will be challenged.
Hey man, I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own God. For things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen him.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day, going day.
No! No! Who is this? Why is he in my house? Who are you, man?
It's your mom.
Who are you? Mother, this is my woman and this is my house! Why is he in this house? What do you mean you didn't know?
When the secret is no longer hidden, you have now been exposed. Written by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday at 7:30 p.m.
My head like this.
I couldn't remember.
If it was
wasn't for parole. Steady ducking my P.O., girl, yeah, you know.
I couldn't remember.
But feeling me, babe. Tell me, how could I ever forget to be yours? Now I realize that you need love too. Here's my life making up to you.
Oh,
oh, I forgot to be a lover.
When she starts bringing up old,
bringing up old shit. It wasn't really nothing. Kept to myself, always running. All that I said. I need you to stay.
Always think first.
Even though sometimes felt like second.
And I know
you know I had to learn a lesson. Put it to work.
Get the better or worse.
Always put that on the
side.
I forgot to be your lover. I want to thank everybody for tuning back with us. And it's such an interesting message that our guest is sharing. And he's talking about, you know, just sometimes, you know, the light, you know, the condition that's already in us to effectively make change. And he went from having issues with his eye to not needing corrective lenses or anything, and he was an optometrist, you know. So my question for you, Dr. Lieberman, this is profound, first of all, and I'm a believer of your testimony, because to me it's a testimony of how good God is. People can call it what they want to call it, you know. It's not trickery, because you've had this improved sight by 300 times for years now. What I like to say is, for the people out there that's dealing with crucial chronic pain situations from surgery, high blood pressure, diabetes, or whatever the case may be, not that you're trying to convert nobody into finding Christ, but that's a good start. What would you tell them so they know that it's possible? Call it a miracle, call it what you will. It's possible, because you're living proof.
You know, I think it's important to realize that just as we look around the world each day and we look at Mother Nature and, you know, none of us understand how a tree grows or how the weather changes or how we make a baby within us.
Right.
And I guess what I'm sharing is everything in the experience of life is a miracle. A miracle is something that you don't understand. In reality, there's very little we have any understanding of at all about life. We have our theories about life.
That's
but
true.
The reason those theories keep changing is because we don't really, really know. And so in terms of suggestions to people, it's very simple. Whether the healing happens by itself, as it did with me, or the healing happens at the hands of your minister, or the healing happens in the hands of your doctor, it's all a miracle. The
mm-hmm.
whether it's a doctor that is using a medicine or a surgical technique to help
right.
you get better, or a good friend that's talking to you in a time of need that eases you the pain in your heart, or something happens like what happens to me. It's all miraculous, and I think the main thing is to take advantage of all these miracles.
That's right.
There are all kinds of things that you can do to improve your health. One of the most important is to get outside in the sunshine. Just like a plant grows in the sunshine, so do we. Every function of our body is dependent on sunlight. It's dependent on light and cannot function without it. And one of the things we know today is that, we think that our eyes only are in our heads. But what we know scientifically today is that every single cell of the body, and there are trillions of them, all of them have eyes. And those eyes have the ability to detect and respond to light. And light is totally invisible. You can't actually see light. What we experience is called brightness, but it's not actually light. So whether you call it light in the environment or the light of God, we're talking about the exact same light. And when we allow it in, it has a profound healing effect. When people go outside, even for a short period of time, and just stand outside in the sun, it lowers their cholesterol, their blood sugar, their blood pressure. It raises their mood. It strengthens their immune system. Every major disease today, from cancer, heart disease, diabetes, osteoporosis, macular degeneration, and Alzheimer's, all of them are related to a vitamin D deficiency, which basically means you're not getting enough sunshine. So if you increase your vitamin D just by going out in the sun, you can very dramatically improve your health. And if you need the help of a doctor to do that, people so often today say, oh no, I want to do it totally naturally. But today, using a doctor is just as natural as something else that was natural years ago. Before we had antibiotics, it wasn't natural to use them. Now we have them. It's an extra tool in our toolbox. So my feeling is you don't have to be for traditional medicine, and you don't have to be against it. You use everything that's there to help you as you need it. If it's something minor, and you can use acupuncture or chiropractic or spiritual healing, whatever it is, and it helps, terrific. But if you have something else, if you've broken a bone or you have a cataract, and it'll make a difference by removing the cataract. I remember when my mother was 89 years old and had a cataract removed, and she said, oh, my God, it's a miracle. I can see everything now. So what I'm sharing is that everything we see around us is a miracle. It's a miracle that I'm in Hawaii and I'm speaking to you, and there are people all over the world listening to this. How is that happening? I think when we begin looking at all these things, we realize that we are surrounded by miracles all day long, and part of our wellness and healing is also part of that miraculous process.
Wow, very well said. Wow. Okay, well, Chris, ask a question, because, man, Dr. Lieberman, I could talk to you all night, all day, because you're just a – I like the simplicity how you explain things, and you're right, absolutely correct. So, Chris, go ahead with your question, darling.
All right, Dr. Lieberman, since you're in Hawaii, I want to ask you if you know about this thing. It's called Angelite, and the woman who created it, she's actually a friend of the show, and I was just wondering if you ever heard of Angelite.
I'm not really familiar with that, so I couldn't share anything about it because I don't know what it is even.
Well, her name is Kathy Gillespie, and she's a shaman. And she's talking about light unlocks the different things like you're talking about, and that's probably, I think, what Chris is trying to get at. You know, she also is promoting
I was getting at that because Dr. Lieberman talked about miracles, and she kind of, Angelite helps with miracles because you put it on like something that's sore, and then it makes it heal faster. So that's why I was asking that question.
You know, I'm not familiar with it. It sounds very interesting, but I'm not familiar with it. So
she's in Hawaii as well.
What is her name?
Kathy Bilski.
I don't know her.
Kathy Bilski, you know her?
No, I don't. I don't know her.
Yeah. Her last name is spelled, Chris, B-L-I-S-K-Y?
B-I-L-S-K-Y, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she also promotes these minerals, because I bought some. You can put these like stones, but they're different kind of mineral rocks, you know. And she got the largest crystal inside of her office, inside of her establishment, you know. And she said you can put this rock on different things. Because I bought some, and it heals you, and you can shave it, and it heals you from the inside. But being a shaman, she also deals with the spiritual realm. And I think you're more dealing with just what's available to us that we just never tapped into. You might call it spiritual realm too, I guess.
It's all the same realm. You know, the only difference is, you see, when we use the word spiritual, most, you know, you can speak to some people about that and they know what you're talking about. But there are other people that would say, oh, that's just woo-woo. So I think what I'm attempting to do is speak about the spiritual as an integral part of our life. It's just something we're not aware of because we don't see. But most of life we're not aware of and we don't see. So it's just part of everything that's going on, and we just need to include that knowledge.
Well, I know one thing. I need to enhance my faith because everything you said – I already knew and already believed. Like I would tell people that you can attract positive energy if you're thinking positive. When you're thinking all that negative stuff, you attract that kind of energy. So, you know, I've already knew this, but I never took the time to embrace it as good as I should have, if that makes any sense to you. But you're absolutely right. I think we all kind of knew this, but sometimes we move it so fast in our individual lives that we don't take the time to just say, look, fix it, you know.
Yeah, we're spending too much time on our cell phones.
exactly, or all video games or whatever the case may be. We all got issues, but you have enlightened me to the point where I'm going to take some more time to slow down and have a personal conversation with the Lord, who is the light of my life, you know, and ask him these things that's going on. I'm tired of spending a lot of time in a doctor's office when he can heal me right here at home. I don't need nobody putting their hands on me and praying over me. I can have a one-on-one conversation. And you made me feel just so good by you sharing what you went through. So I don't want to run out of time. I know Mark got some more questions. So, Mark, go ahead and ask your question, darling.
Well, if there is anything I can take away from this particular session with you, Doctor, is the importance of, like you just said, about the importance of getting out in the sunlight. I was hit by a truck in 2000, and I have mobility issues where it's not a pleasure for me to walk anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's painful to walk. So I have been pretty much self-exiling in my apartment, and I haven't really been getting out like I used to because it's so painful for me to walk. But I remember when I tried and did it and became familiar with the pain and like made the pain my friend, my health improved because I was going places, I was doing things. And now through fear, I'm staying home more. So if I get anything out of this, it's to take the leap forward and to get out and even walk around the block a couple of times.
Absolutely.
So
where are you hurting right now?
Oh well, in my legs, especially my legs. I got hit by a truck and I had bilateral fractures in both legs. So it's painful for me to walk. I do if I have to, but it's not pleasurable anymore.
Yeah.
And I think
I'm
64 years old now. I'm 64. I never got my legs, looked at to where they might be able to repair them. I never did that. So maybe that's something I should look into.
Why not? You're young. You got your whole life ahead of you. Why should you be in pain? I have to tell you, I was an athlete as a young man, and I injured my knees repeatedly. And I had a bunch of knee surgeries, and in 2013, my knees were so bad that I couldn't walk very far, and dancing was hard, and so on. And I got my left knee replaced in January of 2013, and then I had my right one replaced in April of 2013, and now I can walk as far as I want with no pain at all. I can dance. I can do whatever I want. And I'm 70 years old now, and I feel like it gave me a whole new beginning. So I want to encourage you to get yourself checked out. There's so many different things that they're doing right now that might be helpful to you. You don't have to live in pain, and you don't have to give up an important part of your life, like taking a pleasureful walk.
It's caused limitations, that are really being detrimental to my life and my purpose. I can't find out my purpose because I don't venture out in as much as I used to. So, yes, you're right. I need to look into that. Thank you, Doug.
I truly understand what Mark is saying.
Your first purpose is to take care of that wonderful body you have. That's your first purpose. Take care of that, because that is what's looking for you every day. When you feel pain, your body's telling you something's wrong. And it's telling you that because it's asking you to do whatever's possible to fix it. And your life guides you in that way. So you're being guided to take care of that, because that's going to be the first step in you walking for the rest of your life.
Thank you.
Well, Dr. Lieberman, I have a question before we run too much out of time. I embrace everything that you're saying. We're on the same page. And I know prayer changes things. In the case of my mother, who has Alzheimer's, so I don't think that I can get her to sit there and just believe, because she's a Christian woman and she knows and she believes. And it, before she got down, she was in church every opportunity she could. But because she's staying with my siblings in Maryland, they don't go to church, so they're not taking her. So she's feeling withdrawn I keep trying to encourage her over the phone, but she feels like she wants to be home in her own home in South Carolina. They won't take her. So what do you suggest? I just continue to pray for her, because I don't know if she can embrace that herself, because she got so much other blockage, got her so agitated and antsy.
Do they take her outside at all?
Seldomly, or when they got some business to take care of and nobody there to watch her.
She should get out of the house. Is she in like a wheelchair?
No, she walks around, do everything, but she's in Maryland, and her home is in South Carolina, and I feel like they tricked her. My sister asked her to come there to make some flower arrangements because my mother's a florist as well. And if she got her there because she had early signs of Alzheimer's, they wouldn't let her come back, you know. And at first I was okay with that because we was concerned about her forgetting to take her medicine. We didn't want her to overdose because she'll take it and not sure if she already had taken it. And so there were some benefits to that. But in the same respect, my siblings lied to her and me and my other brother. They said they were going to bring her back home every other month. And, you know, she'd been there since last August and only was taken home for 3 days. You know, and that's why she's agitated and I feel sick to my stomach because when I call her, she'd be saying, come get me. I don't want to be here. And then my sister told me, don't be calling her house, you know, and it's just a mess. So I just keep praying that.
Well, your mother is telling you that she's unhappy, and
yes.
When we're unhappy, we get depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get depressed, our minds don't work very well. So
right.
it could be that what your mother is experiencing is just chronic depression because she's not enjoying her life anymore. They should at least take her outside into the sunshine every day, because there are portions of the light spectrum that are being used directly on the head now to work with Alzheimer's. It's something called near infrared light. Near infrared. And you can buy simple devices on Amazon, just a near infrared device. You can put it on the head.
N-E-A-R.
N-E-A-R-I-N-F-R-A-R-E-D. And there are a lot of these near-infrared LEDs that they sell on Amazon. And they have, you know, these pads that basically shine this light. And you can put it on different parts of the head, maybe 5 minutes on the back and then 5 minutes on the top. And maybe she can do that every day. It doesn't take long, but you might find that some of her function, brain function, will come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. You know something, Dr. Lieberman, we might have to have a part two because there's so much resources that we haven't even tapped tonight. But we need you before we run out of time in 3 minutes to let people know how to reach you, how to get your book, you know, and I think I might be calling you to schedule a part two, because there's a lot of questions, Chris, Mark, and myself. We haven't begun to ask yet, but since we're running out of time on the clock, we got 2 minutes, so give our listeners.
Well, thank you for inviting me and spending this time having this nice conversation. And if people want to have more information, they can go to my website, which is Jacob, J-A-C-O-B, Lieberman, L-I-B as in boy, E-R-M-A-N, and that's .org, O-R-G. So it's jacoblieberman.org. And it shows them the books that I have, and if they want it, they just tap on the book, and it'll take them to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or anywhere where they normally get the book, and they can order it. And the newest book is called Luminous Life, and I think people would enjoy it. It's different than probably anything you've read before.
Wow.
Yeah, sounds
fascinating.
I so enjoyed you tonight. And we're down to less than a minute. Dr. Lieberman, check out your schedule. See if you're free for April the 30th, because I might get you right back on here and do a part two, because I ain't.
You know, I'm going to be traveling from April 12th until about the middle of June on my book tour. But if you contact me after June 15th, I'll be able to do it again.
Okay, sounds like a plan.
Awesome.
We want to thank you for being here tonight, and we just running out of time. We don't even have time for an exit song, so you know, say goodbye, Chris and Mark, to our special guests.
Thank you, Doctor,
bye-bye.
So much.
Bye-bye.
Thank the three of you. Have a wonderful day, and have a grateful day.
I'm going to get some vitamins outside.
All right.
All right. Be well.
You take care. Thank you.
Bye.
And that's the wrap for Unmasked with Arthur Terry E. Lyle.